What's up, Janelle?
Hey, Bronzy.
How are you?
I am good. You know, hanging in. Just moved to a new spot. A lot of work a lot of travel.
So you're still traveling. That has not slowed
down.
That
has not slowed down.
I mean, I guess that would answer the question as to why haven't we got an episode in a minute?
Yeah, that doesn't answer that
question. Things have just been happening between travel, between moving, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to get up with you these days.
Yeah, how you doing?
So good, so good, so good.
Okay, with the throwback.
Yes, I am doing really good. I start a new role next week, which that part I'm not so good about. I mean, I was enjoying my time off.
But congratulations.
Thank you.
It's like, wait a minute, we got a new role and we're not excited. Hold on.
No. I am excited. I think where that like about it comes is I was really enjoying the summer. So it's been like two months that I was like owning my time and all that. So that's been cool, but I am full of gratitude that I'm going into something new. But yeah, I'm doing good.
Good. Glad to hear it. I'm sorry, this puppy here is being very, very needy today. So he'll be making an appearance in this episode.
At this point, he's the producer. Like, he's like, what are we talking about?
I'm sure you'll hear his opinions too.
Is he one yet? He hasn't turned one yet.
No, he's 7 months.
Okay. So he's still a baby for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we're at episode 53. You ready to get into Above the Fold for this week?
Let's do it.
And I got to say, there's been so many things happening over the past whatever month that we haven't been able to record. So we can't possibly talk about everything. But there are a couple
of things.
We're
going to hit the highlights.
Some highlights and some things that we even are picking up on that like have made movement from some previous episodes as well.
Yep.
First up, Threads.
Spill.
I was about to say, did we even talk? I don't even think we had a chance to talk about Spill on the podcast.
No, because I think that when the last time we spoke about it, we did bring it up, but neither one of us had gotten on the platform yet.
Okay.
Sidebar, you know you were messed up for being on Spill for a whole 2 weeks without even sharing a code or anything. I was just like, when I got on, I was like, you know, let me be a good co-host and send a Spill code over to Bronzy. And Bronzy's like, girl, you just getting on that?
The only reason is because you had told me you were already on the wait list. So I thought you already had got in. And that was 2 weeks prior to me getting in.
True. And what I will say is I'm really bad at like keeping up with my email. So they had sent me.
So you already had it.
That was kind of like the third email where they were like, girl, you coming or not? And I'm like, oh, my bad. Yeah. So got on Spill. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Spill?
So I like the idea of Spill. I will say that. I don't know if I've been on it within the last week. Mm-hmm. And that is due to, I'll say in part, Threads.
Really? So you've been spending a lot of time on Threads?
I've been more on Threads than I have on Spill. And the reason why is I feel like I have, not even that I have an audience necessarily, but I have more of an audience on Threads than I do on Spill. I'll be on Spill just talking to myself.
Yeah. So I think I've had a very similar but different experience. Similar on Spill in that you're starting fresh, right? It's not like you go over there and like all of your Twitter followers or all the people you follow on Twitter are, you know, automatically imported, which would have been amazing. So when I go on Spill, other than you, I'm like, who are these people and what the hell are they talking about? And especially the first day when we were all on there, everybody was just like, I'm here from Twitter. It's like, duh, we're all here from Twitter.
Right. The first couple of days, everybody was saying the same thing. Like, oh, I'm here clicking buttons, you know, the whole this is new.
Yeah. And I'm a very impatient person. So I'm just like, I don't know any of these people. Like, I don't need to be on here. So then Threads pops up and they give you the option of just kind of starting fresh or following all of your Instagram followers. Mm-hmm. So I didn't choose to follow the people I follow on Instagram because I'm like, let's be real here. I like looking at y'all pretty pictures. I don't want to hear what y'all got to say. Like,
wow.
That's not what I come to Instagram. That's not what I follow you on Instagram for. Well, I mean, like my Twitter audience or the people that I follow on Twitter and the people I follow on Instagram are very different. Like, there's not much overlap there because there's people whose thoughts I want to hear and there's people whose like visual content I want to see. And so I'm like, I don't know how much overlap there is. So I was just like, well, let me just see if I don't follow these people, like what kind of content I get. And that proved to be not the best strategy because then I fell into the same thing that happened on Spill where I'm like, who are they? Like, it's just Paris Hilton complex talking about just random shit. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, where did everybody go?
Well, yeah, I do get a little bit of that because, I mean, on IG, is it just IG that it's incorporated with or Facebook as well? Either way,
I think it's just IG.
IG, you're gated. Like, I feel like you're following so many people on IG, but you only see probably 10% mm-hmm. of your followers' content. And so when I did automatically start following people on Threads that I followed on IG, I'm like, who are these people? Like, I know you, but I don't ever see you on IG. So I'm clicking on the IG handle and being like, I don't remember you or I don't know you or... So it was like a new awareness or they're feeding you. Either one, the app is new. So people who may have been dormant on IG are now, you know, having a resurgence and speaking up on Threads, or Threads isn't gated in the same way. So Threads it's not in beta, but there are a lot of features that aren't yet rolled out. So there's going to be iterations, like you can't see what you liked previously, things like that, or like there's no tracking on hashtags or no search function, things like that. But I feel like they had to come now because they were missing their window, especially once especially once Spill like popped and there's no like Twitter and people are leaving or migrating away from Twitter or figuring out what the next thing is. I think Meta was like, okay, we gotta go, even though we're not 100% done yet.
I think that's exactly what happened. I think they even came out and said that, like, they weren't necessarily ready, but it was during that time when Twitter was limiting how many tweets you could read in a day. And they were like, okay, this is our window. We have to go now. We mm-hmm. don't, you know, it doesn't need to be complete, but we need to strike while the iron is hot. Another thing though, is that, okay, so obviously, we're looking at this from a Black perspective, and Spill is a Black-owned company. Threads was kind of just like the biggest competitor to come into the fold. So a lot of people were talking about that. But there are a couple of other platforms that people have been talking about. I'm not really interested in them. But what I've noticed that in like all of the coverage, like the media coverage and podcasts and everything that I've listened to or I've seen, they always exclude Spill for some reason. They never bring Spill up. It's always Threads, obviously, whatever the hell Matador is, and Blue Sky. No one ever talks about Spill. And I'm like, I'm a little offended.
I am.
Even though I say, like, I got on there and I was just like, okay. But still, I'm like, they're still a contender and they're still in this space, but they don't seem to be getting the media, the broader general media attention that a lot of these other platforms have been getting.
I agree, but I also feel like, how can I say this? I also feel like Spill is, it is a niche. You know what I mean? And I feel like,
but is it though?
Yes,
like, yes,
no.
Yes, it is niche, but still, but was Black Twitter niche before Black Twitter became the mover and driver of Twitter as a whole? You know what I mean? So if this is supposed to be, if this is framed as like, oh, this is where like Black Twitter is going to go once Twitter finally crashes and burns, then I think that it at least deserves a little bit more attention. Not saying that everybody's going to go over there and it's going to be as big as Threads, but it needs to be a part of the conversation. And like nobody outside of us is even talking about it.
I don't disagree. But I understand why it's not top of everybody's like universal conversation when they're talking about new social media apps. You know what I mean? Like,
but why okay, are they so, talking about Blue Sky and Matador? Like, are those?
I don't even know what Blue Sky and Matador is. So that does
me either.
A great question.
Yeah. And I'm like, even the other day I was listening to a podcast that's hosted by, it's an NPR podcast hosted by a Black woman who went to an HBCU. She asked the question to her guest and explicitly says spill. And then the woman responds and includes every single name that she included in her question, except for spill back to her. Mm. And I'm like, what, you know, like what is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try to be a bit more mindful. I want to be aware of spill and how spill is tracking. Like I want it to go, but in order for it to go, like we have to actively be participants in it. I feel like it is like people are rooting for it, but people are also like, I don't know what to do here.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's like, I log on and I'm like, okay, now what? And so yesterday I saw where they tweeted that they were like live spilling that new Netflix movie, They Clone Tyrone. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, let me go see what that looks like. And I went over there and I couldn't find the conversation.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, do I search this hashtag? I searched it. 10 of the same hashtag popped up. I clicked the first one. There were no spills under that hashtag. And I'm like, I'm confused as to what's going on here.
Yeah. I think the other thing, like in terms of like if the question is posed, has Threads like knocked out Twitter and or spill? What would you say?
No, Twitter is still where everybody, I haven't seen anybody where they're like, okay, no, I've completely converted to Threads. I'll see y'all later. Everybody's still on Twitter.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Because it didn't die. It's not gone yet. I think we were looking at all of these platforms as like, once Twitter dies, these are places where we will migrate. But everything is now so decentralized with all of these new platforms and everything. It's just like, okay, well, I've spent X amount of years, 14, 15 years, you know, curating this space here. And in one day, unless Twitter is completely, you know, you try to log in and it's like error message, this thing does not exist anymore. What is the incentive to go and start new somewhere else at the moment?
Okay, very true. Very fair. At what point does it become too much? Like how there's only but so much social media that one person can actively participate. So if Twitter doesn't go, Threads stays, you got Blue Sky, you got Maverick as...
Maverick.
What is it called? Matador.
I think it's Matador. I don't know.
You have all these apps. You got the Facebook Blue app, which who's on there anymore? IG, Snapchat, who's on there anymore? But you know what I mean? You have all these apps. At which point, obviously, it's like... You choose your poison as the consumer. But when does it become too much? Is it too much? Or is it just like
it's been
put it
too
out there
much.
And see what goes?
It's been too much. It was too much when Clubhouse came. It's been too much. But things are going... Like, not all of these things are going to survive. Right? So, like, true. Look at Clubhouse, for example. Look at Snapchat, you know, things, we're always going to have things come up. We may get a TikTok every once, you know, once in a blue moon that actually sticks around and has staying power. But remember there was that app Peach at one point that everybody was like, oh, that's the new hot thing, gone. Yeah. Clubhouse, the new hot thing, gone. Hopefully that doesn't happen to spill, you know what I mean?
Fine.
Threads, we'll see. I don't know. Threads may be too big to fail, but
yeah, Threads ain't going nowhere. I mean, the day that it came rolled out, like news stories and stuff were picking up, like new headline from Threads. I'm like, oh, we're here already. Yeah, Threads isn't going anywhere. But like you said, yeah, I think it's been too much. And you're right. It is a revolving door. Everything doesn't survive. And then the other thing is Twitter. Like, there's more, you can say more. Like, you're not limited in terms of, like, regulations and things you can't say or post.
You mean as far as, like, censorship?
Yeah, censorship. So I think that's a... that may be appetizing to some people, like either whether you're consuming content or things you want to post or say. So I think that's the other thing that Twitter has over a Threads or a Spill.
But is that okay? Well, I guess it depends on what exactly is being censored. If we're talking about hate speech, then.
I mean, Janelle, you know, if you go down on Black Twitter.
Uh-huh.
1 out of 10 tweets is going to be something that somebody probably couldn't say on Threads.
Okay, if you say so. I mean, I don't know what you can and can't say on Threads. So maybe I'm just my whole frame of reference is what you can and can't say on Twitter. So, and I like I said, I might have logged into Threads twice again because I need to probably go and follow all my Instagram, all the people I follow on Instagram, just to like give it a shot, but.
Janelle Monáe can post her uncensored video on Twitter.
Okay.
She wouldn't be able to do that on Threads.
To do that on Threads. Okay. That's, I get that.
Yeah. So it's things like that. But yeah. Any way you slice it, I do enjoy seeing these social media companies and giants kind of like metaphorically get in a ring and duke it out. Like, this is cool to see. And then all that. You know, Zuck and Elon, whatever. But this is how they battle. So it's entertainment, like from our end, like to see what does survive, what what people are gravitating toward.
Yeah, I'm interested to see just how both Spill and Threads continue to evolve. Because again, you know, knowing that Threads kind of came out probably earlier than they wanted to, like what new features and things they'll implement, and is it really going to be the Twitter killer that they claim it's going to be? So
I'm also interested in what their ad model is going to look like, but that's probably going to come way later as well.
Yeah,
Threads, but cool. Moving on
to something that has been a bit ubiquitous all over the place. You haven't been able to go anywhere without seeing the color neon pink because the Barbie movie came out last night or the night before. I don't know, yesterday. And leading up to the movie coming out, there was not a day that went by that you did not see at least 2 co-branded products for Barbie.
Yes.
So my question is, okay, this is one hell of a rollout, but is all of this Barbie marketing good, or is it just everywhere, or is it good because it's everywhere? Because I've seen some things that I'm like, okay, I don't get the correlation. There's some things that make a lot of sense, and there's other things that I'm just like, y'all just jumped on the wave, and I'm trying to understand this model because this couldn't have been like a one-to-one, like this couldn't have been a official collaboration. It's more so like I feel like the route that they went to get so many brands involved was more of like a licensing thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Barbie isn't paying Xbox to make a pink, you know, console. Xbox is paying them, you know, a percentage type thing. And that's what I saw somewhere where basically they put out this model where it's like, you could do whatever you want. You could do whatever Barbie related, make whatever pink, we just get a cut. And that's why it's everywhere.
That's interesting. And to answer your question, I think 2 things can be true at the same time. I think, yes, it's great because it's everywhere. Like, good marketing does kind of like embed culture, and it, like, you can't escape it. And yes, it can be true that it's not necessarily good. But if you're grabbing the attention, does it have to be, in a way? I think there's one-offs where it might, you know, the dream house inspired furniture piece from Joybird is like, okay, it's furniture. Somebody might want it. We can make a couple of them and it'll be great. Or the Progressive commercial where, like, okay, insurance company, you're leaning into the Barbie experience. Yeah, there's so many things, like you said, and I was wondering, one thing that I said to Amadi, I'm like, is this Barbie, the movie, the campaign, all of it, who is it for? Like, who's the target audience? Because it's not being targeted towards kids.
Yeah, it's definitely not kids.
So it's more like nostalgic for who they're marketing toward?
I think that it is nostalgic, but I also think that the themes and things that they're exploring are they're not something that a kid would care about or understand. It's like Barbie is having an existential crisis. It's all about like capitalism and like feminism and like all the isms, you know what I mean? So it's definitely for millennials, people who grew up like in the 90s and the 80s playing with Barbies.
Yeah, I think that's 100% spot on. And that's exactly what I was telling him. I'm like, nowhere am I seeing any placements that it is actually for children or even teens. But yeah, I think just to answer your original question, it is everywhere. I think that it is an interesting model. Do they typically do models like this where it's like, here's the licensing, you can use it, just pay for the licensing?
I don't know that it's typical, but because I don't know that there's, you know, how often does a movie with a brand as big as Barbie come out? You know what I mean? Like what, maybe Lego? The Lego movie? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like how often does a movie come out?
The marketing budget was like $100 million.
Damn.
Or but the even total marketing that, spend, like, has not been confirmed, but the global marketing for The Little Mermaid costs around $140 million.
Okay, well, this had to definitely was a larger number than that. But just like
you said, if the model is different, maybe they aren't spending
as
much of their own budget, and it's more like you said, this model may be more sustainable if the brand can carry it.
Exactly. It's more borrowed equity. We're not paying you. You're borrowing our equity. So like you need to be paying us. But I mean, they've literally been everywhere. I just quickly Googled, like, give me a list of some of the things that they've done. So they partnered, or let's say partnered, you know, in quotations, with Airbnb, Uno, Krispy Kreme, Burger King, Pinkberry, Tangle Teaser, Joybird, Proper Snacks Popcorn, Fossil. Like the list goes on and on and on and on and on. OPI, like, and then some of these make a lot of sense, but then there's some things, like I said, that I've seen that just don't. Like Barbie and Bumble makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I saw that. Airbnb, did you say that?
Yeah, Airbnb, that makes a lot of sense. But some of these things, I'm like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to dive a bit deeper into this to understand like how that all did work. And I'm interested to see the final numbers, like the total marketing budget that the parent company had.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see that eventually. There will be a case study. They'll win awards and all of this kind of stuff.
White
like the number. Yeah, the number, an estimate will be revealed soon.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think in the beginning, everybody was just like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And then at some point I started to just be like, is it great or is it a lot? Or are those, but, or can two things be true at once, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's both. That's my vote.
Cool. So moving right along, I think that I'm not sure if we haven't spoken in a while. I can't remember if we talked about Travis Scott and him him kind of like coming back into like the public eye, coming off of what was it called, Astroworld. But obviously Nike never dropped him, or Jordan, whoever he's signed to, never dropped him. But he has a new album coming out called Utopia. We'll backtrack a little bit. He was in a Nike spot recently where he was playing like pickleball and tennis. Mm-hmm. I remember you sent it to me. I can't remember what the shoot was. It for his
The Mac Attack. No, John McEnroe. John McEnroe.
Yeah.
And it was just talking about, like, you know, John McEnroe was the bad boy of tennis. So I think they were pulling Travis Scott in, his character in, or his brand in. I think, one, to get like a younger audience, because I don't think like Gen Z necessarily knows who John McEnroe is, but he is a legend in the sport. Yeah, I thought it was an interesting spot for Nike to bring the shoe back, but then to also breathe like life into the John McEnroe brand, is, I think, what the goal was with that. So, yeah, so it's pickleball, tennis, John McEnroe across the fence, and it's all to promote this re-release of the Mac Attack sneaker.
Okay, we'll drop that in here. But then, maybe about a week and a half ago, Travis Scott has been teasing this new album, Utopia. But then about a week and a half ago, this like invite to Egypt dropped, where it seems like Travis Scott will be performing the new album like in front of the pyramids, and it's sponsored by Nike and Jordan. And when I first saw it, I was just like, what ad agency did they let get this off? It couldn't have been, ain't no way Nike and Jordan let their ad, let any agency get this off. This came from Travis Scott's team. That's the only way this gets done. I think so. Ain't no way. No way. No way. I think that this, an idea like that had to have the pull of the talent itself. And I think somebody on, that's just what, what I'm feeling in my spirit.
Yes. I mean,
because I feel like that's one of those ideas that gets killed. It either makes the deck and it's just like a like pie in the sky, just to show you, just to show you like what we're thinking, but we know we're never gonna do this type thing, or it gets killed before it even gets in front of the client.
Okay.
But then news came out the other day where like the like Egyptian officials basically canceled the performance, claiming that it was disrespectful and had satanic practices within the performance and all of this kind of stuff. And so it was just like, okay, no, this thing is not happening. But then now Live Nation, I believe, or Nike or somebody has come out and been like, no, this thing is not canceled. This is definitely happening. And I'm so confused. I am so confused because I'm like, they've clearly spent a lot of money already. They're inviting people to the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know who to believe, what's happening, when the album is dropping. The performance was supposed to be the 29th, I believe. But I just thought it was interesting that Travis is able to pull off a performance, or maybe pulling off a performance in Giza sponsored by Nike and Jordan.
Jordan brand. So is this like his release? Like, this is part of his release of Utopia, right?
I believe so. He just released a new single the other day. And I think this is going to be like probably him performing the new album in its totality.
I mean, it's dope. It's a dope idea. Like, I love it for what it is.
I do too. I mean, now what's not dope is if he went over there, like, you know, being disrespectful to the Egyptian culture and satanic this, that, and the third. And that's not cool.
Thank you for saying that.
Let's be respectful. Yeah. But outside of that, I think it is a dope idea. And I'm pretty sure if it does happen and they are live streaming it, I'm sure it's going to be like, you know, everybody's going to be around trying to stream that simultaneously. So I hope they got the bandwidth to accommodate everybody.
I won't be streaming it.
No, you won't. Why not? You don't like Travis Scott?
Not if they're talking about satanic practices.
Well, I don't know.
I'll wait till the reviews come out before I watch.
Okay. Well, you want to skip those parts? You're like, I'm getting into these pearly gates, okay?
Have you watched the, or have you listened to the single?
I did. It was okay. Lately, I haven't been a big Weeknd fan. And he's on there. Bad Bunny is on. I don't know. I feel like the three of them, I was expecting something a little different from the three of them. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of The Weeknd either. Have you watched that HBO show?
I did watch it, and it confirmed that I'm not a big fan of The Weeknd. Yeah. Did you watch it? The Idol?
The Idol, yeah. I started watching it and I didn't finish watching it.
It was weird.
I think I was close, but I got to like episode 4 and yeah, I just...
There was only 5.
Well, I didn't finish the last episode. I just never went back to it like after I saw those first 4.
Yeah, the last episode left me kind of scratching my head and I'm like, oh, okay. That's kind of how I felt about the whole series, like... Okay. And then knowing like the backstory behind it and everything too, I was just, I just watched it because of all the drama, honestly.
Wait, what was the backstory?
So there was like some woman who was directing it previously. Like that was not the original story that was supposed to come out. And I think halfway through filming and the whole process, Sam Levinson was just like, I want this to go differently. It has too much of a female lens to it and all this kind of stuff. And he like rewrote the whole script and the woman who was directing it like left the production and we got the story that we got, but that was not the original story that this was supposed to be.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. It's one Weeknd song that I discovered I liked from that. And I was like, okay, I like this, but I'm not.
Oh, from that soundtrack?
Popular. Yeah.
Oh.
But other than that, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm like, something happened. Somebody told him he sounded like Michael Jackson, and then that just kind of like, it was all downhill from there. But before that, I was game. But once he redid Dirty Diana, I was like, oh no, I can't support this.
He just took and ran that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, on to the next topic, which... I know you're excited to talk about, I'm excited to talk about, is Beyonce's new perfume.
Am I excited to talk about it?
I'm excited to talk about it because I'm thoroughly confused. For a couple of reasons. I could have sworn she teased a hair care line not too long ago. And she talked about, I grew up in a hair salon and this, that, and the third. So check out my perfume. What?
Yeah, these side hustles that she's given us, I posted in my story, I'm like, she's given us everything except what we asked for, which are the visuals.
Well, she told you
and
are
no,
the visuals.
Oh my God.
You are the visuals, okay?
Well, I don't like that. Don't do that. Don't tease us with a whole bunch of visuals. You're the visual queen. You dropped this amazing, incredible album.
Yeah, you tease that there are visuals.
You tease that there are visuals. And then you want to play in our face and say, you are the visual. I also believe, like, this is my hope. My hope is, and I don't know if we talk about this, is that maybe the visuals will come along with tour footage. So maybe once the tour wraps, then there'll be a whole production of like the visuals, the tour, and it's just like a 3-part visual package or something.
Well,
I could also be completely wrong.
Maybe, but I wish she would have just told us that from jump. So it's like, okay, act one, the music. Act two, the tour. Act three, the visual. You know, like...
Well, no, I don't even think those are necessarily the acts. I think all this is with act one. Like, it's... I mean, I'm going to be pissed off and not that I have any right to be, but I'm going to be pissed off if the music is act one, the tour is act two, and then the visuals are act three. You play, she really would have played in our face if what the acts are.
Okay, well, I don't know what the other acts are, but this is one long ass play if we still in act one.
Like, you gotta have patience.
You ain't do we? You over here talking about you want the visuals. You be patient.
I do
then.
Want the visual. I'm okay with all this being in act one.
Okay. Well, back to what we got on the list.
Okay.
This perfume. Okay. Number one.
Will you be buying the perfume?
No, I don't buy celebrity perfumes, period, though. Like, it has nothing to do with Beyonce and her. I don't. Like, name a celebrity perfume that was good.
I don't just go around smelling celebrity perfumes.
Okay, name a celebrity cologne that was good. Exactly. No, thank you. it's just not for me. And you brought up a good point the other day when we were kind of like talking about what we will be discussing today. Didn't she have another perfume and it was supposed to be trash? Is that
It smelled like an old church mother.
Okay, so
Amadi is rolling his eyes. Oh, I'm sorry that everything that Beyonce puts out is not just like.
I told you we gotta get Amadi mic'd up. Okay, next time we're getting him mic'd up. But no,
yes, what did he say? He said nothing.
But no, I'm not. No, probably not. If I walk through a Nordstrom and somebody hands me a little thing to sniff, then I'll be like, oh, okay, that's what that smells
but
like.
I feel like it's going to be a limited release because she's just releasing it exclusively via her website. So I don't think you're going to walk through Nordstrom unless they have some pop up for it, or I don't know how far she's taking this. This is just like a little side project. Like, oh, I should sell perfume.
And then I guess I won't be smelling it then.
I also don't want to be walking around smelling like all of the beehive.
Another reason why I won't be. I'm not. I just not interested.
Also, why?
I was already a little like, why is she doing it? That's a great question. I don't know. What happened to the hair care line?
That's what I'm saying. Does she feel like she's missing a window because of like, oh, Rihanna's doing all these business ventures that are going really well for her. I need to step it up. Like, I need to, or is this a passion of hers? Again,
but
it all goes back to Beyonce. I don't know. I don't know. What should she do that feels relatable to her that's like something for the consumer? Outside of music,
I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that all of these things feel like one-offs, and it's just very confusing to me because up until the release of Renaissance, I think that we all would claim that she was, you know, like she was like the queen of the rollout, kind of like marketing genius type level stuff. And right now it's just like, let's just throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. And that just never seemed to be her strategy to me. And I'm just, yeah, it's just like, okay, I'm going to tease these visuals, but not drop them. I'm going to tease a hair care line, but like the next thing you see from me is actually going to be a perfume. How does this perfume fit into everything? Very unclear. I don't understand what's going on. And I'm still trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, right? Because again, she's up until Renaissance, she has been the rollout queen, but something is amiss.
I don't like that. Those sentences shouldn't go together when it comes to Beyonce, but
yeah,
I have to agree. Something is amiss. Something's missing. Or are we just unaware?
Yeah, but I mean, and I'm fine being unaware, but it's just been too much time being unaware where it's just like, okay, this wasn't like a haha surprise, gotcha, you thought I was
What? Also, what is Echoville?
What is what?
Echoville.
What is Have you not seen what are you that? Talking about? No.
She trademarked Echoville, like it was like 9 trademark lines. And then also in the tour, like the news anchor piece, the video, like it's like reporting live from Echoville. That's also something that's happening. So yeah.
Shout out to Beyonce.
Shout out to her. Listen, I will stand forever, whether, you know, I know what's going on or not. So please don't take any of my statements or my commentary or my opinions as a reflection.
So Beyonce, we still love you.
Oh, absolutely.
I will still be at the tour.
I will be there.
When are you going? What show are you going to go see her at?
In DC.
Okay, yeah.
You'll be in Miami.
Yeah, I will be in Miami. Miami.
All right. Yeah, August, early August.
Okay. Cool.
All right.
Next up, we have another meal. I thought we were kind of, you know, exiting the meal era a little bit with all these other franchises outside of McDonald's, but Lotto has a Wingstop meal.
Big Lotto.
Put it on the flow, Lotto.
Yes. This.
What are your thoughts?
Lotto's lemon herb remix is what it is.
Zesty.
I mean, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm happy seeing Lotto have her moment, like from the BET Awards to, to the Put It On The Floor remix with Cardi to the, like, I like Lotto. I really do.
Yeah, no, I like Lotto. I like this meal. I think these celebrity meals, it's just like a marketing ploy to get engagement up, like whether it's brand awareness. I don't know if it's definitely all the way down the marketing funnel. I mean, some people are converting because they just are like, oh, I want to try that Lotto meal. Lotto, eat this or whatever. I think Lotto has that personality with her fans where it's like if she is the face or something or attaching her brand to something, people will go out and participate. I did try crumble cookies because I saw her doing a review of them. So that's the only reason.
You saw
I'm
what?
That.
You tried what?
Crumble cookies. So there was this TikTok. Uh-huh. There was this TikTok. What do you call that?
Trend.
See, it's been a minute since I've been removed from that world.
I see. Look. You're like TikTok. That clock app. Yeah, that's where we're back there.
And the crumble cookies are like these cookies, this cookie shop, and they have like 6 flavors every week. So they would go and buy a box and then like try and rate them. She and one of her friends. So I saw her do that. So I feel like something like this is on brand for her because she does those sorts of things all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not a big fan of Wingstop, so I won't be trying it. But yeah,
really?
The spot was beautiful too.
Yeah. I don't know. When I'm home, I'll eat a fair amount of Wingstop, but I think that has a lot to do with like Rick Ross and like it's just like a Miami thing. Like they're everywhere because Rick Ross owns all of them. So it's just like, you know, when it's football season, my dad is definitely going to go pick up some Wingstop. Now, will he be getting the Lotto lemon herb remix? Probably not.
Maybe not.
But you know. But no, shout out to Lotto. I wish for more brand deals in her future.
Oh, she'll get them for sure. Yeah. She just got to keep showing up.
Yeah. So, question for you. If I say ice cream so good, what does that mean to you?
It means that you're eating ice cream that's good?
Absolutely not. That means... that means that I have gone down a rabbit hole watching... what is her name? Pinky the Doll or Pinky Dolls content.
Wait.
Not on TikTok though. All the clips that have gone viral on Twitter. Yeah, so I've seen her content on Twitter. I mean, I think everybody saw that tweet that went viral where somebody was basically trying to like talk about how stupid content can be. And they were like, you know, like this woman is like, this woman is crazy. And everybody's like, well, what is this? So basically it's a trend where folks act as NPC, like NPC characters from video games, and different gifts or prompts kind of control their actions. So this woman, Pinky Doll, who is based in Montreal, black woman in Montreal, her content has been going viral. You gift her an ice cream. She says, "Ice cream so good. Yum, yum, yum." Yes, yes, wait, yes.
Hold on. I read an article where she says she makes $7,000 a day from these videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you telling me that all I need to do is pull out a flat iron, pop some popcorn seed kernels, and say ice cream so good?
So good. Apparently. I'm sure it's a little more complicated than that. And I don't know how many hours a day she's streaming. And I've seen a lot of clips where she's broken character to like cuss out her son and stuff. It's hilarious.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So she's from Montreal. So she speaks French. So she'll be like, she'll be like, "Yes, ice cream's so good." And then you see her like look off the corner, like at the corner of her eye and start just speaking French to her son and be like, "Sorry, guys, I have to go now. My son is like out of bed. Bye. Talk to you later." And she start cussing him out and like turn off the live and shit. It's pretty funny. But yeah, apparently she makes $7,000 a day. And you want to know who her top contributor is, apparently?
Who?
Timberland, the producer. He's very generous with the ice creams and the gang gangs. Yeah. It's a very interesting world. Yeah.
Wow.
But shout out to her. $7,000 a day.
Yeah, I think I need to include that into my living strategy. At this point, I think even if it's just a social experiment,
Bronce, the howl I will let out if I ever open up TikTok and see you up there with a flat iron talk about some ice cream so good. I can see it though.
Janelle,
you should do it.
We can fly out.
Yeah, I'll be your man. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'll be your manager though. You can do it, and then I can manage you.
We probably should do it together. Then that way we can bring in double.
Yeah, but like I just said, I ain't doing that shit.
You're not trying to get this money. That's what that sounds like.
No, I'm trying to get 20% of your money.
Wow.
But I
won't be watching her content.
You haven't seen any of that on Twitter or on Threads?
Yes, I saw the one clip with the flat iron and her saying ice cream so good. And I haven't seen anything.
That shit is fun. Need to me, okay? Especially when
so is that why
character.
People watch it because they think it's funny?
I don't know. I think it's kind of like in the same vein as like people who watch ASMR videos and stuff. Like it's just like a weird thing. I don't know. Like people who sit up there on her, like
ASMR videos of like cars and stuff. I feel like this is so dumb. Yeah. But they get in the car and press the buttons.
So I'm like, I don't know. I've never watched like her actual stream. I've only seen like a couple, like a minute clip that's on Twitter or something like that. But I'm assuming it's a similar appeal. I don't know though. But I think it's only a matter of time before, like it's not just a popcorn kernel on her flat iron. It's like a certain brand of popcorn on her flat iron.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not just ice cream so good. It's like Haagen-Dazs ice cream so good. You know, brands, you know, brands always come in and
that's irritating. That's sickening, but you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I will be keeping an eye on those developments.
And I won't.
I'll let you know. If you want to get in on this game and make some money, you need to keep your eye on that space too. But moving right along to our last item on the agenda, something that we missed, but I thought was relevant coming off of the Pharrell Louis Vuitton, first collection, was that Future has been selected to be the first what they call it, artist or celeb creative director of Lanvin Labs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, guys, let's pump the brakes.
Yes, and?
Let's just take a second. Let's take a step back. So from their press release, it says Lanvin announces acclaimed Grammy-winning artist future as creative director for the first Lanvin Labs collection. So it seems that he is being tasked with curating a capsule collection for the brand. But has, why future? Like, I don't know. I never, this is feeling very, very odd to me.
Yes, it is. But also, if one wants to begin getting into a different industry or add something else to their pedigree, they do have to start somewhere. So maybe Future went to his team was like, you know, I want to get into creative directing. Like, that's something that I've always wanted to do. Haven't really been able to dedicate any time to it, but I would love to attach like myself to a brand. And maybe he said this like some time ago and they were like, oh, we have this opportunity. Like, let's start with this collection, this small collection, but that'll start to get you pedigree into the space. I'm just creating a scenario because we can't always want or think that when these sorts of things happen that it's like, oh, this person has always been this creative mogul, so let them go and, you know, start.
Right. But I feel like there's levels, right? So it just seems like if this was his ambition, you know, I know that he's done a campaign with like Rude before, and he seems to be good friends with Ruji, the guy who runs that. Like, why not start there, maybe? I don't know. It just feels like it's kind of out of the blue. And it was so close to the news of Pharrell at Louis Vuitton, which I know is like not on the same level. Like, he's the creative director of a, it looks like an experimental capsule, whereas Pharrell is creative director of a whole like piece of business there. So,
right,
you know, interested to see what comes of this. If it's already out, I wouldn't know. It hasn't crossed my radar, but I just thought that's an interesting name for a fashion collab at that level.
I mean, maybe it'll give him something else to do besides talk about Russell and Sierra.
Hey, you know, maybe. Yeah, let's keep him busy.
That's what I hope for.
Yes, I hope for that too, because like, give it a rest, please.
All right, cool. So that wraps up this week's Above the Fold. Are you ready for Guess That Spokesperson?
Yes, and it is my turn to give you some clues, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. So the brand, damn, that was a deep sigh. I'm telling you, it's easy. This is going to be easy.
And every time you say that,
every time I say that, you get it. I feel like we're kind of like even now. I'm like, we should have been keeping score, but I'm pretty sure we're whatever. Okay. The brand is Calvin Klein.
Okay.
First clue. This multi-hyphenate is best known for her music, but dabbles in the visual and performing arts as well as DJing. Yes. Okay. She has a
visual
Grammy.
Visual arts, music, digital arts, and DJing?
Yeah, visual, performing, and DJing.
Visual, performing, and DJing.
Yeah. She has a Grammy for best R&B performance. And she comes from a musical family with which she sings a popular Black Show's intro song.
Okay. Is she a Houston native?
She is.
Did she just release Glassware?
She did. I actually caught some too.
Oh my God, I'm about to scream in your face. Did
Why?
You?
Why? Yes, I got quite a few pieces.
I knew you were going to be a Solange.
It is. It is Solange.
Are you serious? Can I see them? Yeah. Do you have
sure.
them?
Sure. Yeah. Do I have to get up now?
I mean, you don't got to show
I'll
me.
Show
no,
them,
no,
I'll
no,
show
no.
them to you later.
Oh my God, I so want it. She got Solange's Glassware.
But you know, it sold out, and then she re-released it, right? And it, no, they're still available. They're still available. Just get it.
Are you serious?
I am so serious.
They're still available, according to Janelle. I'm wearing her shirt.
This is from the...
Oh, yeah. The BAM.
The Wells and Bonners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was
okay. Cool.
Going back and forth. All right, about that one was that
easy. I gotta give it to you. That was easy.
Yeah. Speaking of shirts, though, I kind of have to plug where my shirt is from. So, this is our good girlfriend Rebecca, her studio down in Miami. So, shout out to Supermassive. Nice. She's also the brains behind our logo and our cover art. So, shout out to her.
Shout out to her. I gotta get one of those.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Cool. So
see, it was easy.
It was. I will go ahead and I'll let you live on that one. All right. So this week, go on with your black ads or that ain't it. Who you got?
Okay. Go on with your black ads. I'm going to have to give that to... Damn. I'm between Lotto and Pinky Doll. I'm going to have to give it to Lotto.
I was about to say, Pinky Doll would not be getting no type of...
Really?
I mean, hey.
She's out here getting this bag.
I can't hate.
Yeah.
I can't hate. But you don't want me to get the bag. Okay.
No, I said yes. I want you to get the bag. I just want a percentage of it. I absolutely want you to get the bag.
Who you got for That Ain't It?
So That Ain't It. Nobody on here has done anything super egregious. I'll say, Travis Scott, if you went over to Egypt being disrespectful, that ain't it. I really want to hope that that's not what the case was and that we will get this stream come the 29th or whatever, but let's keep it cute.
All right, I'm going to give Go On With Your Black Ads to... Lotto as well. And That Ain't It, Invisible Ink.
The beehive gonna come for you.
And like I said, I just need the things to make a bit more sense or to let us in a bit more.
Yeah. Don't you think it's so odd though coming from her?
It feels out of left field, and I don't want it to feel that way.
Yeah. If it were anybody else, I'd just be like, oh, typical. But, like, she's not typical. So...
Right. That's the part. That's perfect phrasing. But yeah. Cool. All right, y'all. Y'all let us know what y'all think. Are we just, like, totally off in the way we're thinking or what? But, yeah, it was a couple of dope topics that we hit off today. But as always, thank y'all so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe where you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube. Check out our website, whatyourblackads.com. And like, follow, and share our platform with the people. Until next time.
Bye.
See ya.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. God damn. That's what I'm talking about. It was so black ass. It was black ass.